This segment is sponsored by Minera Endes, an emerging gold and silver producer in Argentina whose market cap is nearly $600 million. And our friend Rob McEwen, former CEO of Goldcorp, owns 33% of the company and has personally invested $60 million of his own money in Minera. In 2010, Minera produced 5.3 million ounces of silver and 84,000 ounces of gold and is located next to Andean Resources, which Goldcorp purchased for $3.6 billion. Minera Endes has measured and indicated resources of 44.2 million ounces of silver and 650,000 ounces of gold and is listed on the Canadian Stock Exchange under the symbol MAI and in the U.S. under the symbol MNEAF. This is King World News. I'm Eric King, and you're about to hear from Ben Davies, the very popular CEO of Hine Capital. Remember to go to our homepage at kingworldnews.com for more interviews. But without any further delay, here is Ben Davies. Joining us now is Ben Davies, CEO of Hine Capital. Ben, gold so volatile as of late. What about the action in gold?
Reflective of the deteriorating fundamentals around the world. The Eurozone, Merkel is in Sarkozy. They're in an intractable situation. The window is clearly shutting for a solution for the Eurozone. I think possibly is going to end in the next few months in a default, namely Greece at this point. And I think that it doesn't come to pass. I think it's because things have got so bad that they've managed to force through the German courts, the facilitation, the legalities for the EFSF to be much larger. What we believe should be around $2 trillion. This will give them some staying power. It will create some form of fiscal union. Unfortunately, the constitutional components that are needed to ratify that take a lot longer, but the market is truly testing the spirit of the union. You're looking at Spanish and Italian debt starting to push out back to the wides that we saw over the last month or so. The ECB has had to step in again. This is supposed to be a stopgap, what we call a bridging loan, before the EFSF is put together. But in reality, they're running out of time. And as each day passed, the credibility of the ECB is being tested and the collateral by which they capitalize the ECB diminishes every day.
So what about the gold action then, Ben?
Well, Friday we had superlative response to the payroll numbers. To be honest, the market was already breaking out prior to it. I think it was almost irrelevant what the number was unless it was extremely strong and that the market had to do what it had to do, which is facilitate trade to the upside. I just think there's too much pent-up demand, shorts at the wrong level. The market came back so well from the levels we discussed recently last week. I believe it was I was on talking with you. We hit into that 1700, 1675 zone. We were fortunate enough to have covered our allocations down at 1750 and a little bit lower. We actually only got over allocated on Friday. I will say prior to the numbers, we had what we'd call out breakout mode, and we felt that we were going to go and retest the 1900 level. As I say, I think to September, we're going to see our 2000 and 2100 level, and we've been looking for that slingshot. But we did think that just on price action, just subjectively speaking, it felt like a retest of the highs. We'd probably see some selling coming in.
What are the dynamics here then, as you see it, Ben?
Two dynamics we did actually hear of, and one, we saw some physical selling. It was mainly fabricators out of Asia. I think it was nothing particularly sinister other than that they stockpiled a bit too much and they got a nice out with this bounce back in the market. But the incredible price action was the near $50 vaporization in the market, well, certainly the paper side of things, when the market went from 1910 down to 1861. You know, this was 5 minutes before an incredible announcement by the Swiss National Bank. The Swiss National Bank have effectively come in and said they're going to peg the Swiss franc to the euro at 120. They've completely divested themselves of any monetary policy responsibility. I thought they would never do this. It's not a peg as such, but it is a managed float. It's a sort of an inverse, really, of what happened with the IRM. Back then, if you recall, it was about couldn't hold the strength of the currency. This is sort of the inverse, and you're trying to get the currency actually weaker. In some ways, I think this was sort of coordinated action, but what I kind of curious about was that $50 shank just before, 5 minutes before. This was a very bullish announcement for the gold market. And as you recall, Eric, I wrote a blog about the whole Swiss franc situation and actually their holdings, their reserves are not backed, particularly now by gold, that was in terms of a bastion of safety, but a safe haven. Really, this is a fallacy, and this has just been amplified by the price action, by the announcement by the SNB, who've said that they will effectively sell unlimited amounts of Swiss franc by buying other currencies in order to hold this 120 level. So it's a managed float, I think, for want of a better word. But yeah, this price action, again, I come back to it. You know, why was it selling off just ahead of a really bullish announcement? You have to believe there was some coordinated action. When I say that, the central banks will all have been in on knowing that the Swiss were going to announce this. Yeah, it certainly plays into the central banks, the Federal Reserve Bank's hands. You know, they would like to have a currency. They'd like a weaker currency themselves, but they don't want it falling off the edge of a cliff, which is, let's face it, the dollar index is definitely creeping to that level where it could accelerate the dollar really collapsing, and they don't want that. So this plays into their hand, and I'm sure they welcome some intervention in the market. So maybe, and I throw it out there, that either it was a major coincidence the market collapsed just before, two, someone had a fat finger and just got it wrong, three, that there was selling in the market by central banks because obviously they didn't really want the gold price to skyrocket on what is incredibly bullish news. This is the last safe haven, right? You've got to realize, I say the last safe haven. I don't think there's any safe havens in the fiat currency system. But now we turn our head now to yen, and that will be, you know, what's going to happen there. People are going to really question whether they want to hold yen here. I suspect that can remain strong for the interim, but certainly that's where my attention's focused now. You ever want a graphic experience of watching a currency debase overnight, you're only going to have to look at the Swiss franc in gold terms. Since mid-August, we've gone from 1,300 to 1,600, and overnight we went up almost $120. And, you know, it's starting to catch up with other currencies in the world, and everyone used to think that the Swiss franc was the place that you could find a safe haven, and clearly that's now been found wanting as well, as effectively the burden of dollars is yet again being pushed on other currencies around the world.
What about silver, Ben?
Silver, how shall I put it? We have a little sensitivity to silver at the moment. We're quite partial to it. We think the price action has been very solid. It's doing no less than it should do. Since the $50 highs, it's been acquiescing sideways. But I think considering the other industrial elements have done very poorly versus gold, silver has really held in well. And I really believe that we're in the auspice of creating a third wave higher, if there's the right phrase. I'm not an Elliott wave man, but sometimes the most powerful wave in Elliott wave is actually a wave three. And I feel that we are creating that type of pattern whereby we're going to accelerate higher over the next quarter. And I really feel that we're going to take out the $50 highs and we'll go pushing into the high 60s.
So, Ben, what about the rest of September? What do you see here?
Gosh, Eric, there's so much event risk. We already started the month with the German provincial elections. They were a complete disaster for Merkel and the CDU. The window is closing for the Eurozone to have a viable solution. I suspect that we're going to get to a heady point where Greece will have an explicit default rather than the effectively the voluntary default that they've had of late. We're going to get so close that maybe then Germany gets what it wants, or in terms of the fiscal union that perhaps they desire in terms of control of the union, maybe that's a thought process. But going through the September, just look at the ratifications that are needed for the EFSF. You know, they've got to go to the Italian upper house. They have to go to sort out the whole issue of collateral with Finland, although Finland are backtracking a little bit. They have to go to the German parliament at the end for a vote. It's just ongoing. So I think the focus will be on Europe still, and I think this is all going to propel prices higher in the precious metal sector as one by one people realize there's no safe haven around the world in currencies. And well, I'll leave you with one thought, and I find it incredible the Swiss have now effectively tagged themselves to the euro. What happens if the euro does actually fail here? Are the Swiss franc going to be the only buyer of euros at 120? The market will fill them in and more. That's really what they've stated.
Ben Davies, CEO of Hein Capital, thank you for joining us on King World News.
Thanks very much, Eric.
Be sure to tune in as we will continue to release interviews with the top people in the world throughout the week. Also, check out the King World News blog, where this past couple of weeks we had Chris Whalen, Felix Zuloff, Peter Schiff, Ben Davies, Robin Griffiths, James Turk, Michael Pinto, Richard Russell, Mark Faber, Pierre Lassonde, Gerald Celente, John Embry, Jim St. Clair, John Hathaway, and James Dines.